The sound of illness in a waiting room may be the same no matter where you go. But people's hospital experiences are very different, even for the same illness. Mary Clevenger is a nurse and educator at Parkland College in Champaign. She says people's concepts of good health vary, and some believe they should visit a doctor only when they feel unwell.
Normally, we would expect if somebody comes for prenatal care after 4 months of pregnancy, like, where were you? Or were you hiding something, like a drug problem or something? Whereas an Amish person would think, oh, I don't have any problems, why should I come?
Many people have reported feeling uncomfortable receiving treatment from doctors who come from cultures different from their own. Dr. Michael Quam studies health and anthropology at the University of Illinois at Springfield. He says some things healthcare professionals see as routine may be very embarrassing to their patients, like a physical exam.
In our mainstream American culture, we will go to the doctor and we'll take our clothes off. But for people from another culture, there may be some real modesty barriers about doing that, about unclothing in front of another person, a stranger in particular, certainly someone of the opposite sex. That could be a major, major problem.
Dr. Anne Tang heads the bilingual Chinese module at the San Francisco Medical Center. She works with a mostly Chinese-speaking population and says she needs to keep in mind cultural concepts so her patients feel comfortable.
The number four to the Chinese people means death. And in fact, I have patients who I need to hospitalize. They would feel very uncomfortable to get on the fourth floor of the hospital.
For some hospitalized patients, visits are short. Family members are concerned with their loved ones getting rest. But Quam says some cultures want at least one visitor to stay around the clock. And sometimes it's more than one person.
If, you know, three or four or five people show up and expect to just sort of camp out in the room, that's difficult for the hospital to accommodate. And yet that kind of support, social, psychological, emotional support, could be very important for their healing process.
Quam adds being understanding and flexible is especially important in a hospital setting when people feel vulnerable and emotional. Dr. Margie Aiken is a cultural services specialist at Molina Health Incorporated. She says it's important to spend time with patients unfamiliar with basic medical techniques. Instead, she says, these minority patients are often called non-compliant.
There are a number of people who feel that blood is in limited supply in the body, and doing a lot of testing, which blood is involved and blood is removed, is debilitating to the patient, and they're very resistant to it. In fact, they may be so resistant to it that if they know that regular blood testing would be involved, they're just going to avoid treatment altogether.
Ira Sengupta is manager of the Cultural Competency Training at the Cross-Cultural Healthcare Program in Washington. She says people interpret their illnesses very differently based on their cultural background and what type of healing they've been exposed to. For example, Sengupta says the Hmong community has some unique explanation for physical problems. Consider this explanation for a difficult liver.
Causes would be loss of family status, home, country, or any important item. Symptoms would be excessive worrying, crying, confusion, disorganized speech, loss of sleep, poor appetite, and delusions. And then you go on to, for example, broken liver, short liver, murmuring liver, rotten liver.
Sengupta says such cultural barriers can make negotiating treatment plans with patients very contentious. She says one of the most difficult aspects of cultural care is truth-telling, because some believe it makes the patient lose their will to live.
Telling the patient directly that you only have a few months to live, or you only have 2 weeks to live. Somehow this practice is seen as disrespectful and dangerous. In fact, quite a bit is written about this practice of truth-telling in Western biomedicine, and it's referred to often as terminal candor, which means that the truth can kill.
Dr. Aiken says even something seemingly simple, like filling out forms, can be problematic. She says patients are often asked to sign consent forms, but in many cultures, this is not an individual decision, but a family one. She says often what happens is people sign papers they don't understand, which may be legally binding, but in terms of good medical care, are meaningless. Another area Aiken says is confusing is the way hospital forms are worded. For example, she says different cultures interpret the terms first and last names differently.
My Chinese daughter-in-law, when faced with a form that says first name and last name, looks at it from a completely different perspective, because when she speaks and she says her name, she says her name is Sui Ying. Sui is the family name.
Aiken adds these differences may seem inconsequential, but they're not.
Poor old Sui Ying comes into the emergency room. Somebody asks, what's your name, Sui Ying? And the people are trying to find her chart under Ying. Oh, my goodness, they're not going to find it because that's not her family name. It's not her, quote, last name, unquote.
Sengupta says recognizing cultural differences helps the healing process and builds a better relationship between the patient, the family, and the provider.
The provider is the healer. The healer would like to heal. And the only way the healer can really heal effectively is if they also have the cooperation and collaboration of the patient itself.
I'm Kavita Cardoza.